This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Welcome back as we continue to dig into the jailhouse calls of Stefan Stearns and his parents. Stefan, of course, charged with the murder of Madeline Soto and also child exploitation for many, many, many years of sexual abuse of the girl that he was entrusted to look after from his girlfriend, Jen Soto. She's a whole other ball of wrong. In this next call, it opens with rage, not from Stefan, but from his parents. They're starting to react to online chatter, allegations, rumors, and what they perceive as betrayals from people they once trusted. The idea that former friends are coming forward with disturbing claims sends his father into defensive mode. But Stefan, he's focused more on reputation management than truth. As all narcissists are, it's all about controlling the narrative. And he's trying his damnedest with the last two people on Earth that may give a crap about him. His calmness here is striking, almost calculated. Listen closely to how his parents try to protect him from the narrative that's building online. And ask yourself whether that protection is also about protecting themselves from a much darker truth. While you're listening, let me know what you think in the comments. Be sure to press subscribe. Let's take a listen.
Hey, I'm back.
Yay.
So, I've left a few minutes thinking about these yahoos.
They're not worth the time.
Can't believe that.
It's not true.
For all of them that they would try to do this crap.
You know, these are the same ones that came to you for help and were always saying what a good friend you were, and you would keep all their secrets for them and stuff. But yet they don't have any secrets of yours. But they'll make them up just so that they can make themselves sound big on YouTube. I you know.
Yep.
It's a sad, sad situation when people are that desperate for attention.
Yep.
Especially when Sir Lancelot was the one going to community college to learn how to be a computer programmer, and he's the only one who could have set up a network if there ever was one, so forget that. That's bullshit.
That's
true. You know, he did it if it was Levi, he did it.
Paid for information and decided he would make some stuff up and get paid on my account.
Yep.
Whoever paid him ought to get a refund because he fleeced them.
They don't care. Do you know how much money they made off of it? To have all this purulent information on you, to have people click on. These people are vultures. They're worse than that.
Oh yeah.
Because they don't wait till you're dead to feed on you.
Yeah. Well.
Anyway, how are you doing?
You know, I'm hanging in there. Keeping up as best as I can. Did a little bit of exercise today.
Good.
Push-ups, crunches, squats, leg lifts, whatever.
Whatever you can do.
Well, yeah. See if you can ask somebody about the book order and see, you know, I don't know how long it takes to have these items delivered, but I don't know. We haven't gotten any indication that they've been returned, so they're in the system, so I don't know how long it takes for you to get them.
Yeah, I haven't gotten any indication that they've been returned either, so still waiting to hear on that, but been praying a lot.
Good. He hears you. God hears your prayer.
We've been praying for deliverance as well, but I don't know.
Well, Proverbs shows you how to live. Romans shows you how God forgives. So those are the two I would look at.
I've been praying to him to deliver me from all this and give me a chance to get my life back on track. But there might be some kind of slim chance, but I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to jinx anything or get anybody's hopes up. but I'm gonna try. Worth a try anyway.
Well, they need to get her out of the hospital where she can be interviewed by the police. They need to bring all her family in, all those bitches. They were sitting there at the grandmother's house calling 911 and being ugly to the 911 operators. They already knew what had happened. They all knew. And none of them were acting scared. None of them were acting concerned. They were talking like we're talking now. Like there wasn't really anything big going on.
Well, I wouldn't get so carried away with any conspiracy theories.
You don't have to be a conspiracy theory to see the writing on the wall.
Well, at any rate, that's probably not going to help me anyway. So.
Well, don't give up anything. Don't give up on anything.
Well, I'm not. I'm holding on to hope until there's nothing left to hold on to.
Well, when you get to the end of the rope, you tie a knot in it and still hang on.
When I first got here, I was praying to God for strength and serenity, and, you know, He's given me that. Especially lately, I've just been overcome by an overwhelming sense of calm and serenity.
Well, good.
He's working on you. I pray for every day. I pray for Him to put fences of protection around you and to hear you call on Him.
Well, I have been, and thank Him for granting me that serenity. You know, just been thinking about, you know, how He works, you know, how He uses hardship as a vehicle to move you.
Yeah.
You know, human nature.
I was in the kitchen making sandwiches, and I started laughing in the kitchen because we were talking about all these people saying stuff, you know, about networks being set up and videos and blackmail and an envelope full of cash. And I'm thinking, damn, they've been watching some movies, haven't they?
I know. I was thinking that too. It's like a bad spy movie.
I know.
If you went to the house to pay them off, why would you have bothered putting the cash in a manila envelope if you were going to be inside the house?
Who knows? But so then the other one is that I went to a restaurant and slid it across the table to them.
I know. Like, what is that? Why not both payments at the house? Wouldn't that have made more sense?
Well, none of it makes sense, and I keep telling Chris, I said, why can't I just offer to go take a lie detector test and put all this to bed, but, you know.
And if you're going to bring a large amount of cash, why would you take it out of the bank envelope to put it into a big manila envelope just to take it inside to a house and hand it to somebody?
Why would I give it to those wads of bubble gum anyway?
He was a terrible liar anyway. He lied about big things. He lied about little things. He lied to women all the time. He lied just to, I don't know, make himself seem cooler or maybe gain more acceptance. But he just lied. He was one of those people that lied for no reason. It's like, buddy, you don't have to lie. Like, we already like you. You're already our friend. There's no need to lie or build yourself up, you know?
Because they're a habitual liar, and it's hard when you're a liar to keep the truth straight because you change it every time you tell somebody something.
I just used to laugh it off and dismiss it.
Yeah, well. It's weird. There's some weird. They're so weird. I don't know.
Yeah. Whatever. He was probably counting his money, walking away laughing, saying, thank you, Stephen.
Yeah, probably. Just these people have they don't have a moral compass. They have no conscience. They have nothing redeeming about them. I'm sure God can find something, but He's going to have to dig. Well, and I don't think they're looking to Him for anything anyway. So
they definitely didn't have any honor or integrity. It's one of the reasons I ended up cutting them out of my life.
No.
Took me too long to do it. You know, back to what I was saying, I was thinking about, you know, how God uses hardship as a vehicle to move people.
Right.
You know, human nature being what it is, you know, even if we're not where we're supposed to be in life, we'll stay there if we're comfortable enough.
Yeah.
It changes, and so God uses hardship as motivation and a vehicle to move us to where we need to be in life.
You know what he did with me and Dinky?
Yeah.
I remember standing in that pasture over his body, flipping God off and telling him how much I hated him, but that was the reason that I got saved. Because I lost Binky.
Well, you know, all this happened, and, you know, passed away, and that immediately brought me back to God. That was the first thing I did, was begged God to take me and spare her.
And well, everybody who loves somebody will do that, so.
I haven't stopped praying.
Nope, if you love somebody, you would rather take their pain than have them have it.
Yeah. You know, I would have died for her. But, you know, I've told God, you know, I said, I see what you did. You immediately brought me back to you, and that I had strayed for a long time, and, you know, message received. You know, my eyes are open. I just wish it didn't have such a high price attached to it. And it's just, I don't know.
You know, sometimes you have to look at why it was taken, and it was her time. God knows what's going to happen to you when you're born. He knows every moment of your life that's coming. So,
yeah, I know he has a plan, and every day I've been reaffirming to myself and reassuring myself that I have to be patient and maintain my faith and have faith that he has a plan for me, whatever it may be, that it will be revealed in time. And that all
I hope so.
Is be patient and maintain my faith in him and trust.
Well, you got to trust him. You've got to maintain your sanity. You got to maintain your cool. And like Xavier told me, when he was in jail, the only thing that saved him was trying to keep a sense of humor about the situation, even though it was terrible.
I don't have much of a sense of humor anymore, to be honest. A very large part of me died when she did.
Well,
I'm not the same person anymore, and I don't think I ever will be. I'm just, there's some wounds that just don't ever heal.
Well, I'm assuming that they are treating you for PTSD because you found the body, not to mention everything else that went along with that.
No, not treating me for anything except my blood pressure.
Well, they need to do the PTSD because you're not sleeping.
Well, you know, it's just, I keep telling myself that I have to maintain my faith. Without faith and trust in God, I have nothing, and therefore, I'm keeping that, you know?
Well, just remember that not everybody knows who God is, and not everybody who's walking around is not a demon. Some are demons.
I keep telling God that I trust you and I have faith in you. Please deliver me from this. Please deliver me from the people who are trying to destroy me. And I just want to see my parents again.
Well, we'd like to see you too. It's been awfully quiet without you.
How can you say that with the girls?
What?
I asked your mother, I said, how can she say it's been quiet with the dogs?
Relatively, I guess. But,
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, nobody to say, hey, are you making ramen?
Yeah, that ramen was a big hit. Even with, you know, I used to remember she would have such a mischievous little evil smile on her face when I made a fresh bowl of ramen, and she'd try a bite and then steal the rest of the bowl and walk away while staring evil looks and smiles at me. I miss that.
Well, she was a very special child. And I wish this had not happened that way, and I wish a lot of things had not happened the way they happened, and you know what I'm talking about?
Yep, me too.
So I don't understand that. I don't think there's ever anything that anybody could say to me that would make me understand that. So I'm not even going to go further than that into it, but just know that I don't care what you did. There is nothing that would make me hate you. There is nothing that would make me turn my back on you.
Well, I appreciate that, Mom. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, sweetheart.
And, you know, just going up her visits and bringing new snacks or new treats for her to try, or showing her new video games or her games and things like that. You know, just, I miss that.
Oh, you got the 1 minute notice.
Yep, there it is again. Well, I'll try to call back in another 15 minutes, but you know the deal. If you don't hear from me then, I'll try to call back in the next few days.
Okay, we'll catch up to you then.
Love you, honey.
Right. I love you too, and I'll try again in 15 minutes, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, can you
hi.
Hey, can you...
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, you know, just getting back to what I was saying, just faith and trust, and, you know, message received.
I guess if there's one thing that we wish for, is that you had come to us sooner, that you had come to us and let us know what was going on.
Well, unfortunately, I was suffering from a bit of cowardice.
Yeah, but you, well, hindsight's always 20/20, and can't do anything about it now, but, you know, this thing...
It's bigger because of it.
It's a bigger problem because of that, and, again, not sure what would be any... I'm sure there would be some things different, if you had chosen that path, because there's obviously nothing we could have done without. Well, there's nothing we could have done. I mean, there was only one choice, but you know, we could have talked our way through this. I mean, the phone call that you made to me earlier in the afternoon, if you had at least shared that, you know, we could have talked our way through that and figured out a much better solution than whatever you guys came up with, because none of that was believable. And I, you know, I was thinking earlier today or yesterday that somehow I feel that you were forced into this, and I don't know, and that's just my speculation, that you were compromised and you were forced to participate in this, and you know, as soon as you gotten away from the rest of them, you should have called me and we should have and could have discussed this, and the outcome would have been a lot different than what it is right now. But
I don't want to get your hopes up, and as I said, don't get carried away with any conspiracy theories, but in a way I was compromised, and you know, when all that stuff was happening, I was not in my right mind anymore.
Yeah, well, that, I understand that, and that's when you probably should have just called me and said, hey, I've got a bit of a situation here, and...
That would have been a rational thing to do, but at that point, I was no longer capable of rational actions or thoughts.
Yep, I understand, yep.
And capable of it, I wasn't... I had no control over my faculties anymore. It's like the motor was running, but there was a screaming chimpanzee behind the wheel.
Yeah.
I understand that. I don't understand lack of emotion.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it wasn't like she was catatonic. She was talking in a normal voice. You know, the only thing that showed any emotion at all was jiggling her leg, but she did that anyway, so
yeah,
I just, yeah, she was anxious because she was lying through her teeth.
That's okay.
Don't get your hopes up for any conspiracy theories or vast conspiracies. Just understand that anything I did was not done while being within my rational mind. I had snapped at that point. And I wish I had done the correct thing to begin with. You know, I wish I had run downstairs and shaken her awake and called 911 and all that. And
I wish you had too. I wish you had too. Maybe she could have been saved, but
she was beyond that.
Okay.
You know, when someone's that ice cold and just gone.
She was in a different part of the house?
Yeah.
She wasn't with you?
Well, she had gone to be with me earlier in the night, but I left her alone for quite a while I was sort of just walking around and, you know, haunting around the house like I do. You know, sometimes I go out for walks at night, or I just sit on the couch and just fiddle around on my phone, or just, you know, I don't sleep well at night, especially when I've got to be up early and do something the next day.
Yeah.
And that was the case, so by the time I realized anything was wrong, it was,
She was in a different part of the house when you found that out.
She was still upstairs.
Oh, she was upstairs. Okay.
Yeah, I left her alone there.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'd gone downstairs for a while, and by the time I realized anything was wrong, it was just far too late. Now she'd been gone for a while.
Okay.
Just seeing her pale face and blue lips and how ice cold she was, and it's crazy.
I was going to stay with you. Yeah,
I remember seeing my brother when he had passed away, and that's the last thing I remember seeing of him. And so.
Yeah, you know, it's just, you can tell.
Yes, you can. My dad, yeah.
It's just, when they're gone, really, really, truly gone, it's just, there's nothing you can do. There's no coming back.
Yeah.
No, there isn't.
She was past the point of no return.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, given the crazies of the grandmom and already starting to call her a Gordo, she would have been the next one on the list for gastric bypass, but I just think, you know, maybe God just delivered her out of a place that was going to become really bad for her.
I mean, I always knew that life was going to be hard for her. Her mom certainly didn't do her any favors, and since I had no say in the matter of how she was raised or disciplined or anything, there was nothing I could do about it but sit back and watch the train wreck as it unfolded.
Yeah. And she's trying to tell everybody that she was a little angel and she had no problems with her, and you were already telling us that they were butting heads like two Rocky Mountain rams.
Yeah, they had gotten physical on a couple of occasions.
Yeah, I figure they did that again. But okay.
You know, I often played mediator between the two of them because I was the only one that could talk either of them down when they started going at it with each other.
Yeah, I know.
Where were the roommates when all this was going on?
You know, upstairs, you know, doing their own things.
Hmm.
Was all that screaming and yelling and crap going on?
Yeah.
I'm surprised
it's kind of, honestly, it wasn't that far out of place in that house. You know, it was often given to yelling or loud crying or outbursts. And it was given to yelling and screaming and coming down on people. It was happening a lot more and more often, which is why I kept trying to tell you, you know, I think maybe your meds are becoming less effective. It seems like you're becoming more erratic and more unstable. It seemed like the more stable I became, the more unstable she became, like we switched places.
Well, I always told you she was a black hole of need.
Yeah.
have nothing to do about it now, but what I hate the worst is that she's sitting in a hospital having three meals a day, clean sheets, television, access to phone, reading, walking around free, taking a shower by herself, and you're sitting where you are.
Yeah, I guarantee her food's probably a lot better than mine.
Oh, I guarantee it's a lot of stuff that's better than yours.
Well, it'll all come out in the wash.
Yeah, well.
Hopefully.
Very, 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 very slim chance of doing anything about any of this. And I'm praying to God and asking for his help to make it possible, but...
Well, how about giving up the chivalrous part and lay some truthisms on...
What's that?
I said, quit being so chivalrous and protective and start laying some truth bombs on her.
You know, it's...
There's truth bombs there.
You know, maybe none is groundbreaking or bombastic as, you know, you might hope for, but there are some truths there, some ugly truths and some not-so-pretty truths, and... But, you know, I guess I reacted to everything the way I did because I wanted to shield her. I wanted to keep her from getting any blowback recently.
You shouldn't have, because that left them only one person to lay everything on. That was you.
Yep. And, you know, I should have just done the correct thing from the get-go and let the chips fall where they may. But I couldn't stand the idea of losing them both horribly like that. And I lost them both anyway, so it was pointless.
Yeah.
But I was just in so much agony and so much pain, so much shock and so much trauma. My mind was just not... It wasn't me anymore. I wasn't in control of myself anymore. I was doing things that I wouldn't do. I wasn't acting or thinking rationally. It was just panic and fear and...
Yeah, I can't imagine.
You know, Stefan, I can't help but get the feeling that none of this that was on the phone was a surprise to you.
She was aware that she had certain feelings towards me.
Yeah, well, then why would she send her in there to sleep with you?
She used to joke about it, you know, call it an Elektra complex. She used to joke and say, you know, you better not leave me for my daughter when she's older, things like that. She laughed about it, and they used to both ogle over me and comment on me and talk about me together and giggle and talk about how nice I looked, and it was not an appropriate situation.
No, it wasn't.
And, you know, always had an issue with boundaries. She never respected any boundaries that I tried to set. You know, we'd gotten arguments on more than one occasion about the sleeping arrangements, so I, you know, would beg her, you know, please make her go sleep in her own room. And she said, no, it's easier this way for me to wake her up when she's near me. And, you know, it's like we didn't have any privacy, and, you know, just didn't have any space to ourselves, and she would suggest, well, maybe you should go sleep in bed instead. And it's like, you know, it's like a twin bed, and I'm, you know, 6+ feet, and it's, no, why would I want to do that instead of sleeping in our king-size bed, you know? I should have broken up with her a long time ago and just distanced myself.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Should have, would have, could have. Hindsight's always 20/20.
Yeah, it seems to be my superpower. Useless superpower. Yeah. Captain Hindsight.
Well, you know, you certainly didn't appreciate it when I told you that.
No, I certainly didn't. You know, typical, you know, kid trying to make their own way or have their own ideas and realizing only too late, you know, how valuable their parents' advice really was.
Yep. Well, this is a shit show that rivals a pigsty.
Yeah, this is not something that you recover from.
None of us will ever recover from this. Ever.
1 minute remaining.
It's not recoverable. Okay, you got your 1 minute warning, and they're probably not going to give you a fourth run at this.
Yeah, someone's screaming in the background right now, too.
Okay, honey, I hear them. So, you going to try to call back tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll see if I can call back in a couple of days. I've probably got about $18, $19 left on the phone account, and I've got like 17 cents left in the commissary account.
We'll try to do something about that.
Okay.
What do you need to have the commissary replenish?
What?
When do you need to have the commissary replenish?
Whenever you're able to, I guess. I did get a pad of paper, though.
Nice.
You think of what?
He got a pad of paper.
Oh, okay.
I love you guys, and I'll talk to you in the next couple of days.
All right.
Okay, we love you too, honey. Bye.
Bye.
What'd you think of that one? Leave your thoughts in the comments on YouTube. And if you're listening to us on our podcast platform, you can leave a comment there. We'd love to hear it. Or hop on over to our YouTube channel, Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski, and join in our conversation there. I think we heard a shift in that call. Stefan begins using religious language, framing a situation as a test from God and asking for deliverance. Because doesn't God send you tests like going and effing kids? I don't think God's sending you that test, Stefan. And there's no passing or failing such a test. It's just fail. While faith can be genuine and even redemptive, it can also become a shield, especially for those who want to reframe a narrative without confronting the harm that they've caused. Just bring God in and all your sins are washed away. You can F kids all day and God will forgive you, right? That's what he is liking to cling to. And I think his parents trying to navigate that. His parents, though still sympathetic, I think are beginning to ask more direct questions. But in Stefan's responses, he stays very vague, spiritual, and slippery. It's a disturbing mix of theology and denial, and it leaves more questions than answers. What are your thoughts? Leave it in the comments on YouTube. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you are downloading podcasts, or if you're watching us there on YouTube, press subscribe, hit the bell, and like I said, leave us your thoughts in the comments. I'm Tony Brewski. Stay with us.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast. She was a doting mother, the kind who baked cookies, made the best homemade Halloween costumes, and never missed a PTA meeting. The perfect mom. Until the police found something buried in the backyard. A secret she kept for years. A secret she thought would never come to light. The neighbors gasped. Not her. She's so nice. But people forget. Monsters don't always look like monsters. Some wear aprons. Some tuck their kids in at night. And some hide their darkest deeds in places they think no one will ever look. If only someone had heard the warning signs, had recognized the patterns from an eerily similar case on Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski. If they had only subscribed to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, they could have listened ad-free before anyone else and saved themselves from baking cookies with a serial killer. Instead, well, they won't be RSVP to this year's PTA meeting. Subscribe now to True Crime Today Premium Plus on